Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really? Or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom! One sec, sweetie.
Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
Auto Trader. Buy your car online. Really?
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.
Welcome back to the podcast. Today's episode is all about OpenAI and all of the news that came out this week. Some of it controversial, some of it exciting. So we're going to get into all that today. Before we do, Jaden, why don't you tell them about our school community?
Yeah, so if you've ever wanted to grow and scale your business with AI tools, every single week, Jamie and I release an exclusive video that we put over on our AI Hustle school community. We have a whole classroom section with tons of different things, all of our bonus content. Every week we have a video, AI marketing growth hacks, an Amazon influencer side hustle Jamie made 25 grand with last year, how to start an AI consulting business for any niche, how I make thousands of dollars every month with music, and how you could do it with AI, and podcast growth with AI. Oh, and AI for content creation, a bunch of hacks there. So tons of really cool stuff. I think there's probably like 50 videos in here, and we make a new one every week. This week we made one on how to use the exact workflows and tools I would recommend you use to create video content using AI tools, of course, video content that will create top of funnel leads for your business, any business. There's a killer strategy that I've seen too many people do. I couldn't pass it up. So we made a whole video. Jamie breaks down what he did, how he's using it literally this week for his business that he's doing. Anyways, tons of good stuff in there. If you're interested in joining the school community, we have over 300 members. It's $19 a month. We're going to raise the price in the future. So if you get in now with this $19 a month, you'll lock in that price and it will never be raised on you. So if you've ever wanted to join, now is the week to do it. We'd love to have you as a member. Let's get into the first story on the docket today, which is that OpenAI apparently is developing its own social media platform, kind of like X, aka Twitter. And this is going to compete directly with Elon Musk's X. There's a lot of drama behind this that I think is really funny, but I'd love to get your take on, I guess, what you think about this story, Jamie.
I actually think it's a pretty cool idea because I get a lot of my like inspiration, if you will, from social media. Uh-huh. I see like what tools people are using to integrate together and kind of their end product. And then I try it for myself if it's interesting enough. There was one I just came across last week. This guy basically just recorded a video of himself sitting, you know, in his chair in his living room. And then he turned himself into like this caveman in ChatGPT 4.0, like edited himself into like this cool caveman scene. And then he used an app called Hedra AI to turn it into like this animated. So it was like him talking, but he looked like he was a caveman in a cave. So I tried it myself, you know, fun stuff like that. But either way, AI inspiration is important, even if you're trying to like, you know, grow your business, finding out what tools people are actually using in the real world. So I actually could see some utility to an app like this. I'm not sure I would spend hours scrolling on it, but I think the idea is interesting.
Yeah, the thing that I thought was like, if you've ever seen Midjourney, they have like a section on their website or whatever, where it's just like all these images that people have generated. And so you can kind of like see them and it's kind of interesting. And so it kind of made me think of like Midjourney's feed where they'll show you a video or like images that people generate. You could make a social media feed maybe around like if you generate a really funny thing that you could maybe share it to this. ChatGPT already has the ability to share a specific post. So if I'm on ChatGPT and I have a conversation that I'm like, oh man, this thing is awesome, they have a share button where you can go and you can go and like share that specific conversation. And so, yeah, because of that, I think maybe this is where they're going towards. They're like, well, we don't want to post on X. Okay. So that's kind of like the utility and I guess like the bullish case on why this could be useful. The funny story I think behind this is obviously that OpenAI, it would be directly competing with Elon Musk's X. And of course, like Meta has like their Threads or maybe Facebook and Instagram. But it's funny because right now, Sam Altman has a huge beef with Elon Musk because Elon Musk, you know, gave him his first $40 million when he started the company as a nonprofit. And then he changed it to a for-profit. Elon didn't get any shares in the company. So Elon's salty about it. Like, hey, you took my $40 million for this nonprofit. Then you made it close source and whatever. So they got this like legal battle dispute going on. And it's just, it would be really funny if Sam Altman, like in all of their legal battle disputes, like, you know what? I'm going to make a business that literally directly competes with your other one. So to me, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, there might be some spite going on there too with the social media thing. That's funny.
It says apparently, so Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, has apparently been privately asking a bunch of outsiders for feedback about this new tool. It's in the very early stages right now. At this point, we don't really know if it's actually going to ever launch. Maybe it's going to be like the Apple Car, where it's this kind of almost legendary, mythical unicorn of a product that everyone talks about. And maybe they even spend a ton of money on, but they never actually launch it. So I don't really know. The one thing I will say is, like, Mark Zuckerberg, when he launched Threads, I was very impressed by the success of Threads, how well that platform did. It's not one that I really personally use a ton, but I really thought that they were clever in the way that they integrated it with Instagram. So like, as soon as you signed up, it could automatically follow everyone that you follow on Instagram, and anyone that follows you on Instagram could automatically follow you there. And so I think if you do some clever integration stuff, there is some network effects that you could, you know, work out. OpenAI doesn't really have a network effect. You're not following anyone on OpenAI. They do have GPTs, and maybe you like someone's GPT and maybe they're going to try to work it in there. The one thing they do have going for them, though, is just an insane amount of users. We found out just, you know, a couple of weeks ago, they said they had 500 weekly active users. That's 500 million. So like, they're getting close to, you know, they're like massive social media success platforms of active users. I'd be curious what like Snapchat or something like that has in comparison to that. But that's a lot of people. And if they could figure a way to make people work together, like they have a big enough user base to do it. They just have to get like the network effect right to make people actually think this is useful, not a funny gimmick. It's kind of like the GPT store feels a little bit like a flop. I would worry it would go down the same rabbit hole as that, but I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like this is going to bring us to our next story, but you know, when it came to the Threads example, when you automatically have your, you know, following kind of move over to Threads, and if they're trying to do that too much, I could see how it could be a safety concern for people, like if they are using, you know, their data or private information and they accidentally share it, or if it's automatically shared somehow, they could run into some trouble too. Speaking of which, OpenAI also mentioned this past week that if a rivals release a high risk AI, that they're going to adjust its safeguard. So I don't really know exactly what that means. We're going to get into it, but it sounds a little bit scary. What do you think about this, Jaden?
Well, I literally think the reason I wanted to cover both these stories is because I actually think it ties into the same concept. Well, there's a couple, the same concept as the rivalry between Sam Altman and Elon Musk again. But okay, just the one thing I wanted to really quickly say that I looked up was Snapchat's active users is 450 million daily active users and 800 million monthly active users. OpenAI having 500 million weekly active users is not far behind. Like, it's somewhere, I would say, I bet their monthly might be 800 million. It's Snap, or like OpenAI might be like the size of Snapchat as far as users. And so if they could build a social media tool that people like, they might, I don't know, they have a big user base. That's pretty crazy. Okay, but back to what you were saying about the safety thing. So essentially what they said, they updated what they call their preparedness framework. So it's essentially just an internal system they have. They use this to check the safety of different AI models and to decide how necessary it is to put up some like safeguards during the development and deployment of an AI model. This is kind of like their internal thing. So what they said in their recent update is that they are quote unquote willing to quote adjust what they have as their safety requirements. If, okay, this is a quote from TechCrunch. They say, if a competing AI lab releases a high-risk system without similar protections in place. Okay, what this means is, let's say, so last week, 12 former OpenAI employees filed a brief in Elon Musk's case against OpenAI, arguing that the company would be encouraged to cut even more corners on safety should it complete its planned corporate restructuring. So there's a bunch of people saying they're not going to be safe enough. But OpenAI essentially is saying, like, if, let's say, Elon Musk's Grok has like no safety testing and they're able to like pump out models, because sometimes they take like a month or 2 months to, and I think in the case of like Sora, their video model, it was like 6 months that they were safety testing it before they released it. And so if a model like, let's say, Grok was willing to just push out AI models 6 months ahead of time, no testing, no quote unquote safety testing. Personally, I don't really know how necessary it is, but whatever, that's me. But if they're willing to push it out with no quote unquote safety testing, and all of a sudden OpenAI seems like really archaic and is behind, they're willing, they're saying, to adjust their procedures and also push the stuff out. Now, Grok is one example. Elon Musk's like, it's the not woke AI model. And then he gets a lot of flack because people say, like, actually, like, in a lot of cases, it will say things that are quote unquote woke. And then people like tag him on Twitter and he's like, okay, we're going to fix it. And they like, they have to go like fix it. So like, I don't know really how much different, maybe a little bit different. I guess in my personal opinion, trying it is a little bit better on the, in regards to like not lecturing you. So if you like your AI model to lecture you, Grok is not for you. OpenAI might be better. If you don't like your AI model to lecture you, Grok might be better. But you know, that's just my opinion on it. But what's interesting is, like, I feel like people make it about this Grok OpenAI rivalry, but in reality, who we really should probably be focusing on is a company maybe like DeepSeek coming out of China, who really did zero testing and safety, unless you consider mentioning Xi Jinping as safety, that it will not do. So they have safeguards against that, but I think a lot of other things they do not.
I think the whole safety thing is interesting. So my theory is that there will be legislation passed requiring companies to have certain safety measures in place. For example, we just talked about how Google just released a new video generation model and they're integrating some digital watermarks into the clips so that if it's uploaded, it is marked as, you know, AI created. I feel like that, I mean, in my mind, that probably should even be a requirement now, and it might be in the future. I think of like YouTube had all the, I think it was called COPPA lawsuits a few years back, as far as you have to mark a video if it's made for kids or not made for kids.
Yeah.
And then that way they serve up the right ads to it. I mean, that also makes sense in my brain. So I feel like eventually there's going to have to be legislation, maybe enough presidential deepfakes or whatever. I do think safety standards will be put in place, but right now it's kind of like the Wild West.
Yeah. What's funny about this is I feel like the framing of how they made the announcement. So when in their tweet they put out, they said, we updated our preparedness framework for tracking and preparing for advanced AI capabilities that could lead to severe harm. The update clarifies how we track new risks and what it means to build safeguards that sufficiently minimize those risks. Okay, so like their update, and nowhere did they say like, we're saying that we'll just release anything if we have a competitor releasing anything. They're just like, we have a new update and it clarifies how we're, you know, taking care of these very important risks or whatever. And then if you look at what the update actually says, we have a tweet from Steven Adler. He says, OpenAI is quietly reducing its safety commitments, omitted from OpenAI's list of preparedness framework changes, no longer requiring safety tests of fine-tuned models. Anyways, so I don't know. I just think it's funny that the difference between how they frame it and what the update is. Do I actually agree with it, to be honest? I don't know. I think I will say, in my personal humble opinion, we over safety test these models. But that's just my opinion. So whatever.
This is a final cherry on top. Apparently, the new model, GPT-4.1, that was just released today, they did not release a safety report that typically accompanies the other model releases. So that's a little suspicious, if you ask me.
Yes, yes. So I think we can safely say that they probably didn't do a ton. They've been accused, I think, on GPT-4.0 of also kind of rushing it because they were trying to get it out the same day as Google had like a big developer conference or something. So like, I think we're seeing them push things out faster. Maybe they safety test. They develop in production, they safety test in production. If people come up with like a big crazy thing, they fix it live. So I don't know. it's a tricky spot to be in. People will criticize them for it. I'm happy to get a better AI model, but that's just me. I always want whatever's best. So anyways, this is a very interesting story. Hey, if you enjoyed learning about the latest from OpenAI, we would love for you to leave a review on the podcast. It really helps our podcast get shown to more people. So we appreciate all of your reviews. And if you're interested in joining the AI Hustle School community, we'd love to have you as a member. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we will catch you next time.